Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call of Rathalli Billiards Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddharth Rangnekar from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Yashashri. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Rathalli Billiards Quarter One FY25 webinar and question and answer session. We are joined today by senior members of the management team, including Mr. Gaurav Sekhri, Managing Director, Mr. Aditya Sekhri, Executive Director, Pooja Sekhri, Executive Director, Mr. Rajesh Garg, CFO, and Mr. Hemant Arora, GM Strategy, Finance and Analysis. We shall commence with views from Mr. Sekhri on the strategic performance of the business and Aditya on the financial highlights. This shall be followed by an interactive question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made on today's call could be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the results presentation that was shared with you earlier and is also available on the stock exchange website. I would now like to invite Mr. Sekhri to make his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Siddharth. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are. Please go ahead.
Okay. So good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the entire management team, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all public shareholders of Rathalli Billiards to our first quarter earnings call. We join you today as one of India's finest winemakers and the second-largest Indian wine business. Our journey commenced in the year 2007 in Akhluj in Solapur district of Maharashtra, with the coming together of seven brothers from three families and two countries. The venture was conceived and led passionately by my younger brother, Kapil. Very early on, he made a commitment to make the finest Indian wine that can put India on the world wine map. Very tragically, we lost him in 2020. We continue to be inspired by his passion and build on the strong foundation he made for Rathalli. We are a family-driven business that is professionally managed. We are the only wine business in India which is undertaking active farming of land, as we firmly believe that good wine is made in the vineyards and not in the cellar. Our public journey began as we completed the share swap with Tina Trade earlier during the year. Tina Trade, which is the holding company of Rathalli Wines, has now been renamed as Rathalli Vineyards Limited. Tina Trade was in the business of trading agricultural commodities. As per a shareholder-backed plan, we are winding down the trading activities and shall singularly focus on the business of wine, winemaking, and vineyard tourism. While in Q1, the trading business of the listed entity contributed approximately 100 crores in revenue, this will reduce dramatically in Q2 and will be completely shut down in Q3. Before I share my perspectives, I would like to introduce my members of my team, leadership team, who are joined by me today. I have Aditya Sekhri, who drives business development for Rathalli and its brands. Pooja Sekhri, who manages brand, communication and marketing. Rajesh Garg, our CFO. Hemant Arora, our head of strategy and analytics. For those of you who would like to refer to slides, we have an earnings presentation uploaded on the website and the same is also available on the stock exchanges. We would now like the opportunity to talk you through our presentation. May I request the moderator to please have the presentation ready. So our contents of our presentation is to give you an introduction about us, our growth strategy, how we are ready to scale up, a quarterly review of the numbers, and our journey of growth. Next, please. The unique part about our business is how we have complete ownership of grapes to bottle value chain. This is a very unique model and approach that we have deployed in India by undertaking active farming. We firmly believe, as I mentioned earlier, that best wines are made at the vineyards and not in the cellar. And that is why we are very, very clear on our investments into the vineyards. We are building a wine consumption lifestyle. That's our focus. And we believe that India is at a very early stage of its journey of wine consumption. So a lot of work and effort needs to be done in this space. Next, please. This shows a little bit of our history, how we started, how we planted our first vineyards, when our first bottles of wine was out in the market in 2010, and we kept adding to our portfolios. A marquee event for us was the launch of Sette, our best-selling wine brand, which one of the famous winemakers in the world commented that Sette to India will be what Opus One was to Napa Valley. This comment was made by Stephen Spurrier. And along with that, we kept improving and expanding various wines to our portfolio, expanding capacity. And in 2020, we also entered into the wine in cans category. Next, please. The wine business, I would like to share, is a business which has a very strong moat in the form of entry barrier. This is a business which takes a long time to do well, because one has to be in control of vineyards, and then once you have a handle on how to cultivate grapes effectively, one starts producing wine and then start building a brand. So the entry barrier to this business very clearly is time, and it's relevant to mention how we are now the second largest brand in the country and about four times the size of the number three. Certainly our complete control of grapes to wine enables us to make the highest quality of wine. We have now over 15 years developed a skill to build good, powerful brands and become a pan-India business. Our deep relationships in the Horeca segment are a key advantage that we have on our side, and that has now resulted in us having 22,000 touch points pan-India, including the Army Canteen and leadership in certain states like Delhi, etc. Next slide, please. I would like to now pass on to Aditya, who will talk you through our portfolio and the remaining part of the presentation. Over to you, Adi.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time out and being with us on this interaction. I will now walk you through our portfolio, growth plans, and our financial and operating progress. Given that we're doing this for the first time, I would like to step back and set some context through some slides. Please, next please. So in our portfolio, we enjoy a strong presence in all segments with a major focus on premium and luxury segments. A quick run-through of our prominent offerings is included through slides 11 through 16. At this moment, we have the most diversified portfolio in the Indian wine market with offerings available at all relevant price points to consumers. We have five ranges in our portfolio, first being the luxury range, which is presented here on this slide, which is above 2,000 rupees, where we're market leaders as well. Super premium is between 1200 to 2000. It's a growing category and we're looking to re-innovate and introduce new brands every year in this segment. Premium, which is our largest, is between 600 to 1200. And then we have the value segment for bottles, which is essentially between 250 to 550. We also have a very, very innovative segment in our portfolio, which is the can segment. It's our newest segment as well, and that's roughly between the range of 150 to 200 rupees, depending upon the state to state. In this financial year, we have renovated our master selection range and launched it in Q1. That's a development which I would like to share. And this gives us a much needed and refreshed look to this range, along with a story that connects to us very closely. We have also launched a Pinot Noir, and this adds a much sought after varietal in our premium range. We are also working on an array of launches and renovations in the upcoming quarters, which are all poised to cater to various cohorts of consumers. Next, please. On the Horeca business now, our brands are present in some of the most exclusive F&B brands in India and in select locations outside. We have created exclusive brands for some of these, including Swara for the Taj Group of Hotels, Ghungru for the ITC Hotels, and Amaris for Living Liquids, which is a leading premium retailer, all with whom we enjoy very, very strong relationships. Within select states, we have leading market shares in the Horeca channel as well. This includes markets of Delhi, West Bengal, Karnataka, and Odisha. This is, of course, where we have the excise data readily available to us. At an overall level, we have derived significant contribution from the Horeca channel, and this share will continue to grow as, of course, new outlets keep opening year on year. Now, a little bit on our growth and distribution and our penetration. The headroom to grow sales volume is extremely large. That's what we believe. At the close of the last financial year, we recorded sales of 500,000 cases and a revenue of approximately 217 crores. Since FY21, our volumes have increased at a CAGR of approximately 25%, 30% on a gross revenue basis, and 100% in terms of EBITDA. Our distribution capabilities have kept pace and have been developed to suit the underlying requirement of the market. Also, we have consistently invested in tech and digital capabilities to drive a very efficient and productive sales and distribution operation with real-time tracking of key actionables. Furthermore, there is a major traction in consumption across Tier 2 and 3 towns for hospitality and modern retail, or what we call MTO brands. As these brands cater to the next set of patrons, we will be ready with our distribution reach. Having an edge in the Horeca and the MTO channel will allow us to seamlessly extend our strengths into newer markets as these new outlets get inaugurated in new towns and cities. Another major focus for us going ahead will be building vineyard tourism. I would like to cover this in the following way. We at the moment have a small scale already going on with respect to vineyard tourism, but of course we are looking to expand this dramatically. Going forward, we are investing to open a 40-key multi-use property which will be spread over 170 acres at Akhluj. This expansion will help us strengthen our brand visibility, enhance D2C selling, and add a supplementary profitability stream to our business. Now on our growth strategy. This strategy has five key pointers to it. Firstly, being an integrated winemaker, our investments foremost are being channeled into development of vineyard acreages. We are continually introducing and adapting select imported varietals into the country. Given the initiatives already underway, we expect to add incremental acreages to our ambit in the second half of the fiscal year. Correspondingly, we are ramping up winery options to operations with a view to further extend our lead and presence in the premium segments. Our planned capacities are expected to become H2 of this financial year. As shared earlier, in order to support the business of producing and selling a high-value, high-quality portfolio of wines, we are continuously investing in technology both at the manufacturing end and also across our sales functions. This advanced real-time tracking analysis and solution capability we are creating shall, of course, support us with incremental sales. I touched upon investments already in a new vineyard tourism property at Akhluj. Phase 2 of this project will see an expanded base of operations as we create a dedicated avenue to offer our most premium selection to patrons. We have been conducting wine tastings across the country, and this should continue on a larger scale as our vineyard and bottling capacities expand. We are also on track to unveil investments in city-based outlets to promote wine tasting and D2C selling. By the time we address you for our H1 outcomes, we should be in a position to share more details around this. Lastly, our focus remains on maintaining a steady stream of brands in the premium and above range backed by homegrown imported varietals. This will help us sustain the leadership momentum that we have in the segment. We are also looking at bringing to market innovative brands that will help us expand the appeal of the wine to newer audiences and also increase the TAM. A little bit on our awards. So, we have lifetime awards of which have crossed a very, very good number of more than 200 now. Just some recent updates. In this financial year itself, we were the first Indian winery to win gold and double gold awards at the Gilbert Awards, which were recently conducted. And we got them for our super premium wines, Junoon, Sete, and Master Selection, the only Indian winery to do so. Last financial year, we were the first Indian winery also to win gold for liquid and packaging in a canned wine competition, which we got for Tilt, which was a remarkable achievement. We got this last year, but I thought I should highlight. Over to the next slide. Of course, these are some other accomplishments which have been mentioned. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about our operating performance, both in the past and also about our Q1 results. So with complete control over our value chain, we have consistently strengthened the value share of the premium and above segment. If you look at our numbers for FY21, we had 70% contribution from the premium and super premium segments, and this has risen to 73% in FY24 on an expanded operating base. This growth is a result of continued development and introduction of new brands as well. Now to the highlights of our quarterly performance. During the first quarter, we have delivered revenues of approximately 45 crores relative to 46 crores for the same quarter last financial year. This does follow some challenges in availing permits owing to the disruption due to the general elections. And of course, that aspect has been resolved now in Q2. Q1 is also a seasonally off quarter, and we're already seeing, the other trends as well reverting to the norm. Our revenue guidance for the year, though, still remains at north of 15%. I'm also pleased to share that even with the adverse conditions that we had due to the elections, we have maintained strong margin momentum with respect to our gross margins. We are continuously investing towards brand development and augmenting middle management, and this is getting reflected in our EBITDA margins at the moment. As these investments take root, we expect a positive multiplier effect to add to the underlying business momentum. Now a little bit on our listing timeline. I think the slide is pretty self-explanatory, and I think our MD has already mentioned a bit on this. So I'll go to the next slide. Now a little bit on our journey of growth and us fostering our national moats in business that we have at the moment. So our integrated model gives us unique advantages to doing business. Since inception over 15 years ago, we have come to command a 30% market share in our industry today. Where time is a very powerful moat, as mentioned previously as well. There are a few additional moats in the business that I will briefly look to touch upon today. We have imported now and adapted approximately 12 varietals from the best wine growing regions in the world, and have successfully cloned them as well. The process of identifying and incorporating new varietals is still ongoing. Our ability to maintain the tempo of agronomical research and development is a clear asset, supplementing our drive to produce exquisite wines that cannot be replicated over the next several years. As we look to the next level of growth, the benefit we have is that we have over 400 acres of active farming and approximately 1400 acres overall which are under cultivation. This, along with favorable agroclimatics around our vineyards, works in our favor at the moment. These natural moats in business distinguish us and give us a strong lead in terms of operating excellence in business. Now, in terms of getting future ready, our existing capacity at the moment is roughly 4.5 million liters. This year, we are looking to expand that by approximately 25%, and that will be north of 5.6 million liters by end of this financial year. Of course, a lot of those things will be happening in H2 of this year. We have a manufacturing presence at the moment, both in the states of Maharashtra and Karnataka. A little bit on, how we've worked in Akhnuj, where our mother unit is as well in terms of manufacturing, and how we've kind of converted a barren land into, a proper area for, vineyards and their development. And also along with that, we've created a very, very strong ecosystem now for people in Akhnuj, which largely supports local farmers and creates large-scale employment, which is mentioned in this slide as well. 95% of all our packaging material at the moment is procured domestically, and that has been an improving trend for the last few financial years. And we have now been consistently rated in the top 100 vineyards in the world for the last 2 years as well. Now on a record of our sustained performance over the last 3 to 4 financial years, our net revenue, as you can see, has grown at a CAGR of approximately 25%. Our gross profit at a CAGR of 26%. Our EBITDA a CAGR of 100% or a PAT, which is almost 300%. And these are some of the underlying levers which have been mentioned on the presentation as well. Next, please. Now, a little bit again on the future. I would like to conclude by reiterating our story. We have a robust operating model that has been driving a consistent financial performance. Being a family-backed business, it is an asset in our industry, and with the help of an integrated presence, we will continue to have an attractive portfolio of brands. Having focused on investing in core capabilities, including the right talent, has a strong lever of growth. We are moving forward as we optimize and expand our reach to match the outlined growth in production capabilities as well. Hospitality and F&B chains are continuing to expand nationally, as I mentioned previously as well. This will be a tailwind for us, given our product mix tilt in favor of premium and above categories. We are laying the foundation of the next year of performance through directed investments. Plans have been outlined and are underway to augment capacities in vineyard tourism, and partners have been identified as well for the same, which we will of course disclose in the upcoming earning calls. We are looking at introducing some new formats to explore in city opportunities for vineyard tourism as well. Fratelli now is one of the finest winemakers, and we are eager to be at our best. With that, I would request the moderator to open the forum for Q&A, and all of us here today will be happy to address queries from participants. The slide, the last slide which is mentioned, of course gives us or gives a view of our 7 core pillars of our strategy, which are pretty self-explanatory as well. And, you know, now we'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We're now beginning the question and answer session. Participants connected on webcast link who wish to ask a question may click on live question tab on your screen. Alternatively, you may type your question in space below the ask a question tab. Participants connected through audio call are requested to press star and 1 to ask a question. If you wish to remove yourself from the queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a text question from Kamal Jeswani, UFirst Capital. The question is, grape growing business is consolidated in the company or not?
Hi, this is Gaurav Sekri. Can you just repeat the question for me, please?
Yes, sir. The question is, grape growing business is consolidated in the company or not?
I don't fully understand the question. I think our business is, you know, I mean, the industry is kind of consolidated is the only answer I can think of. Otherwise, I didn't fully understand the question. Maybe he can please ask the question again.
Okay, sir. We'll take a question from Amruta Deherkar from Wealth Managers India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity. So, could you please explain the term Fratelli-owned clone and how different are these from the rest of the peer brands and the wineries in India?
Hi. So, I believe you're asking about the Fratelli-owned clones, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, essentially, you know, what we mean by that is that we had begun initially by importing saplings from various, you know, established wine regions like Italy and Spain. And over the last decade or so, we have made our own clones, which are better suited for Indian conditions. So that is by that is what we mean by Fratelli-owned clones.
So the wines that are made by us are specifically for the Indian market.
Ma'am, may I request you to use the handset mode, please? The audio is not very clear.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, so, is my voice audible now?
It is breaking a little, but you can go ahead.
So, what I'm trying to understand is the products that we have, as in the wines that we make, they are better suited for the Indian customers only. As in India only, for consumption in India.
No, I think the way to interpret this is in the following manner, that the clones that we have made are better suited for cultivation in India.
Okay, okay. And like, how is it different from the rest of the like the other grapes or the other grapes with the peer brands use?
See, we cannot comment on what other companies use, but there are many indigenous Indian grape varietals as well, which are used for making wine. for some of our premium and higher-end wines, we believe we are unable to make such high quality with those Indian varietals. So therefore, we work with imported saplings, which have been cloned and made to adapt to Indian conditions.
My next question is regarding, like, what is the sales volume in million liter? How has the growth been from FY21 to FY24?
So I'll take this. So our sales in million liters for last year was approximately 4.2 million liters. And our sales approximately, as I mentioned earlier, have grown at about 30% at a CAGR level over the last three odd financial years. So that's been the run rate.
My last question is, how has, like, what is Fratelli doing which is different related to marketing and, you know, related to the kind of products that we have compared to the leader in the industry?
We have done, ma'am, various things which are firsts. For example, the Sangiovese grape that we grow and we sell wines as Fratelli Sangiovese, Sangiovese Bianco. This is a grape which is grown in Chianti. All the Chianti wines from Italy are made with this grape. Now, we are the first ones in India to have brought it and grown this grape varietal here. So those are the kind of innovations that we have done, which has brought us to the current position. And we continue to do that. We just launched a new Pinot Noir grape varietal. We have recently just imported some new grape varietals, which are yet to be planted. They have only just arrived. This will further expand our portfolio and bring some of these new wines to India, grown in India, which have in the past not been attempted here.
And my last question, are we the beneficiaries of the Maharashtra Veg scheme? And then what kind of benefit do we get?
Yes, ma'am, we are. We operate in Maharashtra. Maharashtra offers a wine promotion scheme, and we are beneficiaries of it just like any other winery in Maharashtra.
My last question, which is our biggest market and, like, what is kind of the market share that we have?
So our revenue split by region, I think, is, and that's a big advantage to our mix as well, or our geographical spread, I would like to say, is that we don't have a high dependence on any one region. So the south, the west, and the north regions contribute handsomely, of course, to our overall top line. And, you know, they're all within the range of 25% to 30%. And then, of course, that's followed by, you know, the east region in number four. That's the rough split.
Thank you. We'll take a text question from Rachna Kukreja. So basically, now we are in the range of 10% to 12% EBITDA margins. Can you just help us understand what going forward would be the steady state of EBITDA margins once the pace of brand investments slows down?
So our EBITDA for the last financial year was approximately 13.5%. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's been an improving trend from the last 3 years. Every year we've seen, a decent jump year on year if you see at a percentage level. I think we're at a stage now where our major objective at a brand level, of course, is to grow the category, of course, and, with that, do necessary investments that are needed as well at a brand or a business level. So I think our, of course, business is well poised for growth both at a top line level and an EBITDA level. I would not like to give a proper guidance as on today, but I think an improving trend is what we should expect year on year for the next three odd financial years. That's what we're looking at.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we'd like to remind participants, those who are connected on the webcast link and they wish to ask a question, may click on live question tab on your screen. You may also post your text questions. Participants connected through audio call may please press star and 1 to ask a question. We'll take our next question from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a couple of questions. First one is, what are your competitors across all your verticals like luxury, premium, and value? And what sort of sustainable EBITDA margins can you do? And will we be able to reach margins similar to our market leader at this point?
Sure. So thanks for that question. I'll answer that. So I think in terms of each segment, of course, you know, the share varies, like you rightly mentioned as well. I wouldn't like to comment too much about, you know, the competition or what they're doing, but, you know, from our standpoint, and that's what the industry data tells us as well, is that in the super premium or the luxury segment rather, which is north of 2,000, you know, we are very well poised and are market leaders comfortably in that segment. You know, we had the first mover advantage. We saw that the trend is moving towards premiumization about 6 to 7 years ago, and, you know, therefore have continued to innovate and add new brands in that segment. So that remains a major focus for us, and we look to continue to invest in that category. Of course, the premium and the super premium ranges are, of course, you know, inherently, if you look at the wine history in India, have been the largest contributors as segments. We are well poised to grow in each of those segments as well. With respect to margins, of course, you know, the premium, the super premium and the luxury brands contribute more to our EBITDA naturally. And I think, like I mentioned in the last question as well, that we are looking for a sustained EBITDA expansion in the next 2-3 years across, you know, the premium, super premium and the luxury segments with, you know, an improvement at a gross margin level as well.
Okay, sir. So how does your quality compare to some other international brands at a similar price range?
Hi, this is Gaurav here. You know, we would like to think that, you know, the quality we are delivering and offering at the price point we are offering is far superior to some of the imported wines that, you know, by the time they come to India and you add the duties and the tariffs and everything to it. I think we are punching way above our weight in terms of price. But, you know, wine is so unique, every man has to try and form their own opinion. And kind of, you know, what you like is what you like. But in our view, our wines, you know, certainly sit at a much higher level of quality when it comes to some of these imported wines landing on India shores, even up to 3,000-4,000 rupees MRP.
Okay, sir. And sir, can you please explain?
May I request you to join back the queue, please, as we have other questions in the queue?
Sure. Thank you.
We have our next text question from QI Advisors, Rakshak Jain. The question is, what is the future growth and how are we different from other companies? Thank you.
See, in terms of future growth, wine industry, as per all industry data available to us, is expected to grow at about 15%. We've grown about 25% CAGR over the last 3 years. We are doing a bunch of, you know, capex now to get future ready and to further strengthen our moat. So we do expect to grow, you know, steadily over next few years, as we have done in the past few years. I think, you know, that is very reasonable to expect. We won't comment so much on the margins, etc. at this stage.
Thank you. We have a text question from Rachna Kukreja. Please help me understand a little bit about our export markets. What kind of traction we are observing and what plans we have for the export market to navigate competitive intensity from other international brands?
Sure. So, you know, exports at the moment is a very small contributor to our overall top line. It's less than 3% as an overall number. And I think our major focus for the last, I would say, probably 5 financial years has been largely to build the domestic market in India. And, you know, we've been successful in doing so. And our major focus, even for the next couple of years, is primarily going to be in the domestic market itself, since, you know, there's still a lot of penetration to do just here itself. But in saying that, that doesn't mean that our focus is not on exports. We are exporting to roughly 10 countries, out of which 6 are, you know, very, very consistent in their demand as well. And, you know, we're looking to grow that base every year. And we will expect, you know, a 20% odd jump in our exports this year for sure over the previous year. So it's a base, it's a small base, but it's something that's expanding year on year for us. And we're going to be looking to, you know, keep investing in this category as well and keep participating in some of the major global expos as well to grow our brands.
We have a follow-up text question from Rachna Kukreja. On one side of the spectrum for wines is a company like Sula, which continues to have a strong brand recognition. On the other end of the spectrum is Grover Zampa, which lacks operational efficiency. Now, Fratelli is somebody which will be making large brand development investments and also is focused to generate consistent profits even during a weak demand season. So what are your plans to balance or navigate this?
Again, we wouldn't want to comment on our competition. We can only speak for ourselves. We are very, very focused on building a business which is profitable on a sustainable basis. And that is where our investments will be focused on. We are very focused on building strong brands. We are a young wine business. We only got into the business 15 years ago. And we have, come a long way. It's a validation that our actions have yielded results. So we will just keep doing more of the same.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Kavita from Archer Advisor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Sir, Kavita here. Just two questions. One is, what is the typical S&D spend you do as percentage to revenue on your wine business?
We are, ma'am, at around 30%.
That is 30, right?
Yes.
And this is, how has been the trend? Like in the last 3-4 years, and what you think that this is likely to stay here, and or otherwise you now with scaling the business, this should come down as percentage you say.
I'm going to ask my colleague Hemant, who heads strategy and analytics, to. Hi, Victor, thanks for the question. Basically, if the trend is basically in our financials, basically we are at below 30% in the S&D trends. And basically, if you see from last 3-4 financial years, we are between 28 to 30, between 30%.
And any outlook for the future, sir?
We continue to do efforts regarding the reduction of S&D spend, and we'll follow the same, and we'll do different strategy to reduce our S&D expenses.
Thank you. That's helpful. This last one question is, which are the top 3 brands, sir, and what is the contribution of these brands to the overall revenue?
Just to understand the question again, I think you asked about the top contributing brands.
Sorry, top?
Did you ask?
I'm asking top three brands.
So our top 3 brands in our portfolio would be the 2 reds, which is firstly reds, as you probably would know, is the highest contributing segment in our wine business and in the wine industry as well. And therefore, we have 2 very, very strong brands in the red wine segment, one being the Cabernet Sauvignon and the other being Cabernet Franc Shiraz. Both contribute roughly 8-8.5% to our overall business. And then we have a bunch of other brands which are also contributing roughly, 5-6%. One being, for example, our sparkling brand Noi, which is approximately a number 3, which is also contributing about 5.5% or 6% for us. So the whole thing about our portfolio is that we have a lot of hero brands which are contributing between 5-7% of our top line, and that consists of roughly 7-8 major brands.
Okay, that's helpful. And congratulations for your being listed on the exchanges now. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you. We'll take the next text question from Rajesh Swaminathan, an investor. Hi, how are we managing crop failure risk arising due to natural calamities?
Hi. Natural calamities, when you are in a business which is dependent on agriculture, some of those risks we are exposed to them. Something we have done recently and we will continue to do more of is that we have recently taken a new parcel of 150 acres of land under active farming, which is approximately 200 kilometers away from our winery. Now what that does is that it slightly de-risks us from a agro climate risk perspective. So those are the initiatives that one can deploy to reduce any risk which is nature related.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, To ask a question, if you're connected on the webcast link, please click on the live question tab on your screen. You may also post your text questions. Participants connected through audio call may please press star and one to ask a question. We have a text question from Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Why are margins lower than our peer? What kind of EBITDA margin guidance we have for FY25? What is the revenue guidance for next 3 years?
So, you know, on the margins I already commented, you know, and I think we will be consistent with that view, is that our current base is growing. I think we're geared for that progress for the next 2-3 financial years, and I wouldn't want to comment too much on the EBITDA margins or the future outlook of that. Like I said, it should be an improving trend as it has been for the 3 preceding financial years already. And on a revenue level, we've given a guidance already of north of 15%, which of course, you know, is for the following reasons. The main aspect is that we are going to be doing a major capacity expansion, as I mentioned earlier as well, which is going to give us a 25% increase in our overall installed capacity over the previous financial year. That will obviously help us supplement our current volumes. We are also creating a large civil framework, which of course for the next few financial years, as and when we need to add capacity, we will obviously have that ready as well.
Thank you. We have a text question from Ayesha Jain. Which are the top 5 states in terms of sales? How much do they contribute as percentage of sales in FY24? What is your portfolio mix split between luxury, premium, economy split in FY24? Above what price point does the company classify as premium?
Sure. So I'll answer all of them one by one. So firstly, I think you asked about what are our top markets. I already spoke about what are our top regions. Our top markets, which we identify, are our big 6 or big 7, and they would be Maharashtra, Karnataka, Delhi, Telangana, West Bengal, and Goa, I think would be our top 6 roughly. In terms of our contribution through segments, roughly, like I said earlier as well, 70% plus has been coming from our premium and luxury segments now for the last couple of years. We're happy with this product mix. We in fact want to maintain this product mix in the years to come because, you know, as the middle class is rising in the country and they are getting more and more familiar with the wines, you know, the value consumption of wines will also go up. In terms of our own classification, like I said, 600 above is what we classify as premium in our portfolio. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Can you please explain the unit economics of your vineyard tourism business in terms of construction and maintenance expenses and the revenue? And what sort of occupancy rate are you expecting for the first year of operations?
Hi, Tushar. We are expecting to build a 40 key property in phase one at our location. We expect our ARRs to be around 20,000 to 25,000 rupees per room night. So, you know, in terms of occupancy rates, I think first maybe up to 3 years, it could be maybe around 40-odd%. But after 3 years, it will pick up to about 60% to 70% is our expectation.
Okay, sir. And so what will be the construction cost of this and the maintenance expenses?
It is hard for me to predict and tell you the maintenance expenses today, but in terms of construction cost, we are expecting to keep the entire project within 50 crores.
Okay, sir. And so you have 2 more projects going up ahead, increasing your active farmland and adding some vineyard space also. So what will be the capex for each of those projects?
We are expecting, in our capex outlay for next 2 years, all of it will get committed in this financial year, but some will get spent this year and some in the year after. But we expect to spend about 30-odd crores in capacity expansion and brand building. We are expecting to spend approximately 5-odd crores in expanding area under cultivation. I mentioned already about 45 to 50 crores in building the hospitality business. So these are some of the broad areas where we are committing our capex.
Okay, so I have one follow-up on the previous participant's question. You mentioned that you're increasing your capacity by 20 to 25%, your overall installed capacity. So what's the utilization right now?
Our utilization right now is disproportionately high. Normally in a wine business, about 80 to 85% capacity utilization is considered very healthy. We are actually operating at higher than that, which is not ideal. We are adding capacity so that we do not feel the capacity constraint that we are feeling today. This has actually held us back in growing our business at least in the last 6 to 9 months.
Okay, so when do you expect the capacity addition to be commercialized?
By December 2024.
Okay.
The work is already underway.
Okay, sir. Okay.
Thank you. We have a text question from Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. What is the debt position of the company? To fund new initiatives, will company plan for some fundraising?
At this point of time, we have roughly 90 crores of debt in our balance sheet. About 15 crores is long-term debt and the balance is working capital. We may take an additional 10 to 15 crores of long-term debt going forward to complete all the capex that we have planned over this year and the next year.
Thank you. We have a text question. I'm sorry, we have a live question from the line of Shantanu Naik from HCMR India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for opportunity. So I wanted to ask you about revenue share in your super premium plus luxury brands, which are placed about 1,200 rupees. So what would be the share?
So we're looking at roughly about 14 to 15% revenue contribution coming from these two segments.
Okay, so 14 to 15% from super premium and luxury, which are placed above 1,200, right?
Exactly, exactly. You got that absolutely right. So above the 1,200 rupee price segment, all the brands that we have, put together, they are contributing roughly about 15% to our top line, and that number is going up every financial year as we look into premiumize.
Okay, and your value and premium segment would be how much?
So roughly our value contributes between 20 to 25% looking at, you know, market specific trends. That's been the trend roughly for the last 3 to 4 years. Premium as a category roughly all put together, like I said, is contributing almost 75%. So like I said, if super premium and luxury is contributing about 15%, premium is contributing anything between 55 to 60%. And cans, on the other hand, contributes roughly 5%. So that's our product mix.
Okay, thank you. And your revenue share from D2C and Horeca business, if you can put some color on it.
So I think we are very well poised in this area, and that's a split which for us for the last three financial years has been increasing in favor of Horeca. So currently, as of last year, the split is roughly 75-25, with 75% coming from retail and 25% coming from Horeca.
Okay, thank you very much. And my last question and my next question would be, what would be the capex cost per 1 million liters, sorry?
Our capex cost roughly per liter is what we try to calculate. So we range roughly between 55 to 60 rupees.
Okay, 55 to 60 rupees. And how much time would it take to add such capacities?
Roughly 6 months. I think we should be ready by, you know, December of this year.
Okay. And your plans on wine tourism business?
Join back the queue, please, as we have
yeah, sure.
Waiting.
Yes, sure.
Thank you. We have a follow-up text question from Rachna Kukreja. The wine in a can segment seems to be a growing segment driven by its convenience and ease of use, but it currently makes a small contribution to overall sales. Are there any plans to increase the share of this segment? Additionally, how do the profit margins for wine in a can business compare to those wines of the value segment? How much comes from off-trade versus on-trade channels? How does the profitability? Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so on the cans, currently, if you look at our business model, firstly, we're very, very happy with our can performance in quarter one of this year, as we recorded a 30% growth over Q1 of last year. So it was a record Q1 for us in terms of cans. And we see that momentum carrying on, throughout this financial year due to various tailwinds that we have. On a gross margin level, it is fairly consistent with our, bottles as well. Slightly better, you can say a couple of percentage points due to the lower packaging cost which is there in cans. And as a segment, we are investing heavily both in terms of, increasing our overall distribution, in terms of sales and in terms of brand building. So it is a major point for our future growth. We believe the RTD segment is here to stay and, India is picking up from a lot of the global trends that we see.
Her questions are, how much comes from off-trade versus on-trade channels and how does the profitability of off-trade sales compare to on-trade sales in terms of margins and revenue realization?
Is that question for cans or for bottles?
I'll read the entire question, sir. So she says, additionally, how do the profit margins for wine in a can business compare to those wines of the value segment? How much comes from off-trade versus on-trade channels?
So cans primarily is a retail-driven product. So retail contributes majority of the sales, I would say more than 90% of that segment. And we see this trend going forward as well. It was primarily launched for that reason as well. And this contribution, as we see, like I said already, will grow year on year. And on the gross margins, I already commented as well, saying that they are fairly similar to our bottle gross margins, maybe a percentage point, few percentage points better.
We have a next text question from Yash Visharia from Dolat Capital. Can a lower ARR rate not be more feasible to get higher occupancies from year one itself?
I think this question is in relation to the wine tourism project that we have planned. Yes, of course, if one was to lower the ARR, occupancy rate could go up. These are some of the things which are dynamic in nature, and I think as we get the project started, we will be able to adjust to the prevailing condition at that time. We are not adverse to it, but we have a certain brand positioning in mind of the property and a particular experience that we wish to deliver to our customers. When we think it along those lines, for us ARR of 25,000 seems achievable.
Thank you. Give me a moment, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. We have a text question from Ayesha Jain from Alchemy. What is your portfolio mix split between luxury, premium, economy split in FY24? Above what price point does the company classify as premium?
So, like I already mentioned, premium segment for us is 600 and above up to 1200.
Okay. We also have a question, a follow-up text question from Rachna. With our current market share at 30%, where do you see potential for further growth?
So in terms of market share expansion, that's something, that's been happening in both retail and in, the HoReCa categories for the last 3 to 4 years. We see that trend continuing as we look to innovate and, always launch new brands and, increase our penetration across the country as well. I wouldn't like to give a guidance so far on our market share number that we're looking, because our main area is to grow the category and to grow as a brand. So with that, of course, with those efforts, we have been gaining market share for the last 3-4 years, and I believe, we'll, keep looking to do so. And like I mentioned already, some of the key market share markets, we've held our position for some years now in them, and, we're adding new markets in that list always. So our main effort is to grow, grow our profits sustainably.
Thank you. We have a text question from Naman Shah from Monarch Networth Capital. Are you availing the WIPS benefit in Maharashtra? And if you are And if you are, what is the amount received from WIPS NAD? What is the amount outstanding?
Yeah, hello, myself Rajesh Garg. So, yes, we are availing WIPS scheme in Maharashtra like other entities are. And last year we received around 14 crores in FY24.
Thank you. I now hand over the conference call to the management team for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, everyone who participated today and spared their valuable time to listen to our presentation and to the earnings call. We look forward to more interactions with you. Thank you again for your time. Be safe, be healthy. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Fratelli Vineyards Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.